They have nothing to wear. They have no food. Mm-hmm. I have no business praying for that. I would go as fast as I think that's a useless prayer. Okay, it's the second one. So I did say the second one was Gaza. And like I said, this one was a bit more serious.
I don't feel valid on this podcast.
I did say the second one was Gaza. And this one was a bit more serious. Right. In that, so it's been reported that obviously there's a lot of things happening in Gaza. But mm-hmm. actually, they're saying the church in Gaza is actually growing. And they're reporting that they actually feel a lot closer to God. So obviously, there's a lot of things happening in Gaza at the moment. It's not a pleasant time for people to live there. However, some journalists that were there reported that the church is growing, like believers are growing, and they are reporting that they feel really close to God or much closer to God, which I found very interesting. And it sort of raised the question, do you think suffering is necessary then to a close relationship with God?
Yes.
100%.
There's that there's a song I really like.
Go to the Mountain.
No.
Faith is easy when you're up on the mountain.
That's the same song.
I know. I thought she had a different title of it in her head.
What does it say?
That's what I'm trying to remember.
So you're about to quote a song and you don't even remember what it says. How do you know it's relevant?
It talks about the...
Maridima leaves.
No, it talks about the suffering. About... what's the song? It's such a good song as well.
Very strength.
No.
I used to love that song.
Karen, I remember.
Loosely speaking,
it's saying... Oh, may my travels keep you near the cross. May your words need that you need God. Do you guys know?
Yeah, troubles. But then what's the second bit? May my troubles keep me near the cross.
I don't even know if those are the correct words.
Glory
but the,
for me.
No.
I know the song.
But the idea is that as Christians, sometimes...
Is it refined as fine?
No.
No, okay. Carry on.
just make your point, don't worry about
it.
Sometimes when things are going too good, we forget God. I'm paraphrasing heavily. But it's a song to say the things you're going through should make you closer to God. Because that's where your peace is going to come from, that's where your healing is going to come from, that's where everything is going to come from. So actually this person is saying if being in tribulation means that I am close to God, then keep me in tribulation, because if it means that if I'm in a good place and I completely forget God for the sake of my salvation, keep me in my tribulations and my trials so I can stay close to God.
Right.
Okay. But that's the essence of the song to answer your question.
I get that. Yeah. Also, you understand something?
We'll put the song in the link somewhere down there.
Well, I mean, how are you gonna find out?
I know it's by
she's gonna type on Google. La la la.
I'm sure it's by Jonathan McCrane.
Okay. Yes, which of course led me to think then, do you think here in the West Christians have it too easy? And maybe that's why
100%.
Maybe that's 100%. Why our Christianity is not up to scratch. Us included, let's be honest. So none of us are going through persecution and suffering like that. I'm talking about external persecution and suffering.
What about internal persecution and suffering? I think even biblically it is proven that when there is no suffering, when there's no trouble, when there's nothing like that, people grow lax. You can approach that on two bases. You can approach it from an individual basis. The Bible is saying directly that count it as joy when you suffer, because through suffering, your this is whatever, paraphrase, right? And then you're going to approach that from a congregational or church, the woman presented as a church view as well. One of the prophecies in general, in Daniel chapter 11, it talks about, towards the end, it talks about the flatterers joined. When the experience had gone to a certain thing, now flatterers started joining, now like people who were insincere and so on and so forth. If you go back to the prophets and things like that, we know that the Jews representing the people of God, not the Jews, sorry, the Israelites. Now, there's only I'm saying that representing the children of God, every time they their bellies got a bit fat, they turned away from God, and in order for him to bring them back, he had to send them either into captivity or he had to bring someone to come and besiege them, whatever. That's what purified the faith of the people, that he made them turn to God. So yeah, 100%. What's happening in Gaza, I wouldn't doubt that, because I know you gave a disclaimer saying that it's a serious one, because it is, because there are a lot of things that we may never dream of that these people are facing, you know. Although it was said in a joke, but yeah, most of them are living life thinking tomorrow I could be meeting my maker. So we you know, the threat of death for them is not we're gonna die one day. For them is, as I'm sitting right here, it could be my death.
It's my house in order.
Exactly. And there's nothing more that can purify a soul than that. You know, if you are meant to be, that literally it's like, you know what? I give it all, I surrender it all.
I have two things to add then in that case, based on what Pronika said. The first thing is, it's even like, you know, the parable of the two houses built on rock and built on sand. The common denominator for that analogy, for that parable, is the storm and the winds that come.
Yes.
Because without that, there's both houses are strong houses. Unless the wind and the storm come, there is no measure as to which house is stronger. Those houses could both stand the test of time if there's nothing to rock them, nothing to disturb them. But obviously the one that stands is because it's rooted in the right foundations. Obviously that's a lesson for us to start with. Because obviously for these Christians, Christians, it could have been easy to say, God has forsaken us. We might as well just enjoy the world and all that it offers
while we can.
And some people, and then die.
Some people would do that.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
This is the thing. The thing is that it's not that everybody's going to be getting close, but some people will say, and this is what people always say, which I find quite annoying, because for me, it's a demonstration of lack of knowledge of God. But they will always say, well, if God is so loving and so caring, why is this happening? Why did my daughter die? You know, why did my father suffer cancer? Why did he? Now, that's not to say that these are not atrocious things, but if you knew who God was, you will not be saying that. You see what I mean? So there will be people that are saying that, well, what do you mean there's a God? Well, look at what Israel is doing to us. Or if you're in Israel, look at what Gaza did, vice versa. You know, they both need to stop, in my opinion. So depending on where you are, you could be saying that. Yet amongst that, there are people that are still saying, you know what? There's a God in heaven. There's a plan here. And yeah, they'll get closer. They'll get closer to him. In that way, I do envy them. Now, I'm a sucker for pain. I don't like pain, right? So it's actually a frightening thing to me, just knowing that. So I'm actually saying, yeah, well, we've got it easy. But like, yeah, we got it easy. Because the reality of course, is a lot harder than a lot of us who have it easy here can comprehend. But yeah, I do believe the time is going to come.
Strange question. Based off the back of this, do we think a lot of death row inmates will make it to heaven? Based off Pronik's theory.
Not necessarily.
What was Pronik's theory?
The imminency. About the imminency of death and how it makes you think about where you're going next.
I mean, as many as they repented, sincerely repented, because you do hear stories of people who are facing death row who do convert, and some of them even become like quote-unquote pastors and preachers in the prison, like they lead groups and stuff like that, but obviously they're still on death row. I think Pronik is right. There's something about facing your mortality that makes you consider, I guess, the bigger meaning of life. Now, it's not just about, okay, I need to eat, I need to sleep, I need to have a good time, I need to have a good drink, because you realize that actually,
I need to use my eyes wisely.
Yeah, like, is there more? What does happen to me when I die? And then maybe that's when they start searching, thinking and whatnot, and then they'll clutch on to a religion. If it's not Christianity, it could be Buddhism or the one that teaches reincarnation or whatnot. It's usually the ones, because now you're thinking about what comes next. You know, I'm about to, what comes next for me after this. Some will say, oh no, it's just darkness, but I think most humans will think, nah, there must be more than that, surely. So yeah, but listen, I guess the image would be like the thief on the cross kind of thing, which is great, to be fair.
What's great?
Just the fact that God can allow someone who has been, I don't know, like a menace their whole life. They're on death row and they literally just look at Jesus and say, remember me in heaven, and he's like, I think it's great, I think it's sweet, I think it's scary for me because it's not just remember me, my father.
A whole lot has happened in that person.
Obviously.
And it's at the last minute. Okay, right now you could get it wrong a few times. It doesn't mean you're out. You as long as you are breathing, you have a few chances to get there. At that point, it's either your heart will be opened or it won't.
Yeah,
I think it's scary.
I don't have to worry about it because that's not my journey.
Unfortunately, I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say. Unfortunately, I know Jesus now, but I mean,
you want to be a menace?
No, I was going to say
leave that, the hood life.
No, I was going to say it's not scary for me.
The cross.
It's not scary for me because that's not my journey. Because I know of the Savior now. So for me, I haven't got that last minute remember me moment. Because, you know, if I messed up,
to be honest with you, the way I've always seen it, on God's part, he does demonstrate the depth of God's mercy, I guess. 100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the human part, I'd rather know God now because there's a lot more to enjoy in knowing God whilst you live on this earth.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You see what I mean? So I don't envy or I wouldn't want that for myself or for anybody. But if it does happen, at least, well, congratulations, because otherwise you were going to eternal hell, right?
No, yeah,
but that's what I was saying, I would rather know God.
Now, I was saying that it's grace is nice in that it extends that far. That's what I was saying. I wasn't saying it has
no boundaries.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. Well, I think we all hope. I don't know. I haven't thought about it much actually. But in any case, the Gaza and Israel situation needs to resolve itself. I'll be interested. I need to find someone who's talking about it in context of end times. I want to see how people are understanding that. Yeah, especially because obviously it's to do with Israel, which obviously Israel is exactly.
Unless if you're one of the ones that are saying that Israel's those are all what's the word? We know when people are fake
imposters.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, if you guys subscribe and put the notification bell on as well,
and we get big enough,
because you will be the first to hear when we get someone on board who's gonna tell us about why Israel is fake, and they're gonna tell us about the real Israel and everything else. It's gonna be an interesting discussion.
We're looking forward to it. So
subscribe,
very much.
Hit the little belly thing, and you know when that happens. All right, moving on.
Moving on
from the serious and the tragic to Kanye.
yay,
shall we say yay. So yay has been in the news again, the Christian news specifically.
I'm sure this guy, come give it 6 more months, his name would just be because he keeps
I didn't think of that.
No, he will tell you, and I no longer have a name. You just nod at me, do not address me by name. Kanye's Christian.
Have you bought that new track
here? Right, okay, so he's been in the news. Now, he was on an interview, a long interview. Now, I confess I haven't listened to the whole interview, and usually I do like listening to whole things before I comment because a lot of things can be taken out of context. But I haven't had a chance this time, so we'll just discuss what we have. Even if it is out of context, you can let us know below and let us know that. No, that's wildly out of context. But basically...
I think we do need to give a disclaimer that we're not a news outlet.
No, but if you're discussing
don't
something,
come here for news
in context.
We can get the news wrong, but what we're saying will be correct.
So anyway, he was in the news again, and I guess his Christianity is up for question now. There's a much bigger question in regards to this that, again, subscribe, you'll be the first to know when we get to it. But basically, some of the statements that he said were being questioned by Christians, so I want to see what you guys think. So basically, Christians are questioning his approach. And one of the things he said is that he has issues with Jesus because he says that he claimed he prayed for a lot of things, but Jesus didn't show up. Right? Fine, maybe. But this is the one that caught people's attention. So he says, the main thing that I really don't like is Christians who don't put in the work themselves. Yeah. So he says, The main thing I really don't like, I don't rock with, is just like saying, I'm a pray for you. And it's just like, you can physically do something yourself too, more than just pray. We're so in this mentality, that's all that needs to happen. But we ain't praying our way out of prison. We ain't praying our way out of abortion clinics. We ain't praying our way to get our land back that was always ours after gentrification, after the Harlem Renaissance, Black Wall Street bent down and everything else. Them prayers are not working.
No, I get his point. Like, I don't know if I'd phrase it like that, but certainly God or Christ does not expect us to be idle. He does not expect us to just sit and expect things to happen.
Just pray.
You can pray about the. I can pray for a job, but if I'm not applying for jobs,
the job won't come.
I'm not saying a job won't come. A miracle could happen, and the job could still come even though you haven't applied for one. But you've also still got to do your part. You can't just sit at home, pray for a job, but never open a computer to apply for one, not put your CV together. That's not how God works with us. I don't know if I'm making sense.
Yeah, you are.
You can pray for money, but if you're not... there can be a situation where you're not able to work and you need... fair enough, you pray for that. But if you're able-bodied and you're skilled, you can pray for money, but actually, what are you doing also to support that money your coming prayer. In? Yeah, to support... What are you doing to support your prayer? That's a perfect way to put it. What are you doing to support your prayer? Someone could
say it's not, but okay.
No, I like that. What are you doing to support your... Yes, there's certain things that...
But then...
There is... So for,
but then
so,
is
so
God for, answering so your example, prayer or are you
no, God,
pushing your
God,
prayer through?
God is answering your prayer. So for example, I like the point that he said, yeah? A fellow believer or anybody comes to you and says, you know what? There's no food in my house. We've gone hungry for the last 2 nights. I pray for you. I get that, but pray and go and fill their bellies. You can say, I'll pray for you. Actually, could you want to come to my house? And you don't have to put it blatantly that I'm going to feed you. You know what? Come to my house. Let's pray about certain things. While they're there, you cook, you feed them, you pack some in discreet lunch boxes for them to take. You have done the praying, but you've actually also fed them. When the disciples went to Christ and said, you know, we need to dismiss these people. They're hungry. They're what? There's no food. You just didn't just say, let's pray. And then, you know, you're filled from the prayer that Christ had just said. No, he still, there was some little food. He multiplied that, prayed for the food, blessed the food. It multiplied and the people were still fed. Their physical needs were still met.
They're still met.
So I think there is, I think I like the point he's trying to make in the sense that sometimes as Christians, we get very complacent and passive, and we just rely on, I've done my due diligence as long as I've said I'll pray for you. But actually, what can you do on this? What, like we always say, we are still in the earth. We are still physical human beings. What can I do for my brother or my sister to physically support them on top of the praying? And in addition to the praying, I'm not saying stop praying. That's not the point I'm trying to make it, or don't get me wrong. But on top of that, how what more are we doing for our brothers and sisters?
Okay, all right, fair enough. I agree with the majority, probably all of what you said. Maybe I don't know about supporting your prayers. I don't know if I agree with that statement.
No, it's just a nice way to put it.
The sentiment that you're espousing, I think I agree to. Pronik is smiling weirdly in the corner.
No. I was just thinking about, I don't know about not supporting. Listen, I've gone through a million thoughts in the time that Fatsani was talking. I'm not going to make this complicated.
Okay, go on.
But I want to separate the two, right? I want to separate man's responsibility to God's, for lack of better terms, responsibility, right? When men pray for somebody, when you pray for someone, you are intervening on their behalf to God. You're speaking to God on their behalf. Yeah, God, my brother is not well, my brother is suffering,
heal them,
be there for them, heal them, feed them, do something for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't think God needs anything from you in order for him to deliver on that.
Okay.
Right. However, to now come to man's responsibility, everything that Fatani said, in the sense that it even shows there's a biblical scripture about this. You know, Peter and John at the temple. I don't know if it was Peter and John, but two disciples at the temple, they saw a blind man, you know, not a blind man, a lame man,
mm-hmm.
you know. No, that's not the one I want to say. The one I want to talk about is the one that talks about it's not good for you to just to say to a person, be warm when you, you know, and not do anything, but you can say and not give them a coat to cover themselves. I think
it's James.
Yeah. That's the one I wanted. I wasn't, the one that I was quoting earlier was Silver and Gold, I Have None, but yeah, that's not the one I wanted.
I even started singing the song in my head.
Which one?
He was walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising
anyway, God. So that's what I was thinking about. So in that, I'm agreeing with Fatani quite a lot. And I think it's disingenuine Christianity when we do that,
mm-hmm.
because God, everything, we always like to talk about how the God in the Bible instructs you as a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't tell you to go tell another believer to do this. It says you as a believer. And we know that charity is a big thing in the Christendom. You know, mm-hmm. James talks about, in my research, I came across it, true religion is when you visit the poor, in, you know, when you feed the hungry or whatever, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. know. So we know that as a Christian, it's a core part of our calling, right? So what that means is that as long as you are blessed with a little bit more, if someone else is struggling, your first and foremost responsibility is to extend that hand.
Mm-hmm.
That for me doesn't necessarily mean that then you can't pray. And if you do pray, it doesn't necessarily mean that God hasn't answered if the situation hasn't changed. No. That's what I'm saying, that let's leave what God has to do to what God has to do. I have someone in my life right now that I've been talking to quite a lot about this situation. You know, I've been praying and stop about this and God is not answering, God is not doing anything. I'm like, no, lack of knowledge is leading you to saying that God is not answering.
You know?
In the sense that sometimes we have the wrong understanding of God and we're expecting if I pray for a job tomorrow or if I pray for money, I'm going to wake up with money in my account. You know? I think that's incorrect. Sometimes also the things that we want maybe might be misdirected and God is working with us, everybody, to try to, I don't know how I can phrase it, but there's a connection and a relationship with God that is needed. And when you achieve that and you're at a certain level with your God, you will find that there's not a single prayer that goes unanswered. You know, you will find that there's not a single communication with God that goes unanswered. Sometimes it just takes us to listen to what God is saying, you know. So that's why I wanted to separate the
answer
two.
Might not look like what you wanted it to look like. And I think that's where sometimes as Christians we're not very good with. We want God to answer our prayers in the exact way.
I've never really been too comfortable with saying that, to be fair with you, because the way I see it, if I need a job and I'm praying for a job, right? Now,
but some people, my point means some people are praying for a specific job. So yeah, so let's say someone is praying, God, I want to be an accountant. I want to be an accountant. You open your care home and you say, oh, Steve, I know you've been looking for a job for the last 2 months. I'm actually opening something. How do you feel about if I employed you while you're still, I don't know, looking for the job that you want? No, that's not the job I want. I've been praying to God for a job in accounting, so until the job in accounting comes, my prayer has not been answered. That's what I mean.
I can get on board with that. I can get on board with that, because what I was going to say is that I believe that in that situation, let's look at it for what it is. In that situation, God will deliver the accountant job for you. Yes, what I'm agreeing is that Steve might need to first start here and then maybe go elsewhere before they end up at the accountant, you know. And if Steve misses that, if Steve is maybe, yeah, so I agree with that. I could agree with that. Yes, I agree.
I don't know if that's what I was saying.
I don't know what either of you are saying at the moment, to be honest with you. No. Okay, let's go back to the point you said about how if you're praying about something and you're seeing that it's not happening, saying God is not answering my prayer is lack of knowledge.
Could be.
Because if you're praying for a job and you're not getting a job, can you not say, God, I'm praying, but God hasn't answered my prayer? Even if it's God hasn't answered my prayer yet, would that be incorrect to say so?
If I want to be really harsh, I would say yes, it would be incorrect.
Why?
Would make it incorrect?
Because I would expect you as a believer to have faith and believe that that job has been given to you. It's just about a matter of timing, you know, and
so
you're waiting
isn't
for
that. Isn't the yet that acknowledgement that God hasn't answered my prayer yet?
Again, I could get behind that, but I'm choosing to phrase it from an angle of God has delivered that. God has given you that, because before we even kneel down and pray for certain things, God has already put provisions for those things in our pathway.
Deep conversation.
Okay. It's just a matter of us getting there. So I'm not disagreeing with it yet. I'm just not putting it that way. This is how I would want to phrase it, because that's how I understand this scriptures to encourage us to think, basically.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, like I said, I haven't listened to the whole interview, and I think maybe he might have said a lot more statements that are a bit outlandish, and maybe me
as
a Christian,
I
may not.
What
are the one? Yeah,
well, the first one. What was the first one again?
About Jesus not showing up. I guess it's the whole not answering prayer situation.
Okay, fine. Okay.
I imagine the interview was problematic for other senses as well, because the big question I want to have another time is that I feel like there is a culture of Christianity arising from celebrities and really well-known people that could be really, really dangerous.
No, that is.
I want to dive proper into that.
You will find that most of these people were never so-called Christians whilst they were grinding hard. They did anything and everything to get to the top. Now they're at the top. Now they want to profess, God gave me this, God gave me that. If you just pray, you will get it as well. You know, it's the prayer where you're not praying hard enough. The mic toads and the whatnot, fresh perspective. It's because you...
I don't know about that example. If you don't like the guy, you don't like the
you're
guy.
Failing,
but I don't,
that essay.
But
you're
I don't,
making that point with that
evidence.
But that
I don't think
evidence.
That he belongs in this topic.
But the reason I'm saying the interview might be a bit more problematic, because he does go on to say, obviously, it's in context, whatever, but he says, I had so much to do, I didn't have time to pray. No, he says, the rapper said he faced so many threats that he didn't have time to pray his way through them. He says, I had so much to do, I didn't have time to pray, and look where I am today.
Yeah.
No, but okay, the thing is, I do agree with what you've said about the responsibility of Christians, and that's exactly what Jim says, that faith without works is dead, right? And I think any Christians should understand that biblically, right? Faith without works is dead. So yeah, 100%. I think our responsibility as Christians is to attend to the things that we can. I would go as the way I've reasoned it in my head. Now, this is the way I've reasoned. This is not me saying this is how Christians should think. And I'm very careful to say that, because I know you people will be like,
No.
It's just the way I've reasoned it, right?
Go on, I'm listening.
For example, if I meet a brother or a sister who is hungry, right? They have nothing to wear. They have no food. I have no business praying for that. That's how I view it. Praying for that would be useless. Why? Because God has given me the provisions to be able to feed them and clothe them, right? What maybe I can pray about is the overall situation. God, okay, fine. Maybe help them find a job, help them, whatever. But what I can do in that moment is feed them, is clothe them, right? That's how I think a prayer of, oh God, Mary is hungry, please pray, I think that's useless. I would go as far as to say I think that's a useless prayer, and you've missed it in that moment.
Right. I agree.
Can I disagree?
As a Christian, you've got food in your house, and somebody is saying, I am hungry.
Because God is literally looking down at you like...
Kneeling down to pray.
I gave you double as big for this exact reason.
Do you know that guy that Rubs looks like? I don't know what his name is, but he's like...
Kobe.
You know, it's like
his name is Kobe.
Yeah, it's like, why are you praying? Like, the food is right there, the coat is right there, the drink is right there. Give it to the guy.
It's, you know what? Even in the Bible, every time people said they were hungry, Christ fed them. Didn't he fall out with the Sadducees and the Pharisees because he fed the disciples on the Sabbath? Because they said, Lord, we are hungry.
Yeah,
he didn't say let's hold hands and pray to be full. He said pick from the figs and eat.
Oops. I mean, there is that time a dove came and fed. Was it Elijah or Elijah? I think
Elijah.
It brought bread. That required prayer.
Even
nobody prayed.
He didn't pray for that.
He didn't pray for that. But somebody prayed.
Who do pray for it? But anyway,
not even
the situations even, that are
even
extreme,
the guy that wanted to die. He said, "I want to die."
That was Elijah.
God said, "Take a nap and eat. He didn't say pray.
There is that experience when Elisha, this time I think it was, prayed, and there was continuous oil just coming out of nowhere, and they filled all the jars. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then she was told, go sell and pay your debts and stuff like that.
But what was the issue there?
They didn't have money to pay their debts?
Yeah, no, but the issue wasn't...
And they prayed.
The issue wasn't Elijah praying for the woman to eat. The issue was that the woman had literally... enough just to feed her and her son and then die.
Okay.
Right?
Literally,
she said, like I have enough just for me and my
son. No.
And then we die.
No. That's a different experience. I'm talking about the oil one. So there's that one.
The barrels of oil.
Yes.
I do remember the barrels of oil, but I can't remember what context it was in.
The husband had died, mm-hmm. and left all the debts, and the debtors were hassling this woman and
right,
her child.
Okay, that makes sense. Elisha didn't have money. What else was he meant to do?
He prayed. That's what I'm saying. There's an example of prayer. Another example of prayer.
My point
Moses
is,
prayed and manna came from heaven.
Because he had no provision.
Okay.
That's my point.
I'm not saying this to argue against you.
So let's say somebody comes to you and says, oh, brother, I was about to speak to Jawa then, because we were going to bang
it
different.
It sounded like it, yeah.
If I were to sit in a... But, brother, we haven't eaten in our house.
I don't know about no brother. But
we haven't eaten in our house for 2 days. You also know you haven't eaten in your house for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to offer provision. That's the time you say,
pray. In that situation...
me too, my brother.
You literally cannot offer anything. So all you both have... is to look up and pray.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because you don't have the provision.
All you both have is to go to your neighbor and ask for bread.
Yes, that's
right.
In all seriousness, I don't disagree with what you're saying. All I wanted to add was to say that your provisions are limited, right? Mm-hmm. So like you say, this person needs more than that, than just the meal you're going to give them.
Yeah.
So I would be praying for them to be... Because the thing is that God, you are being used at that particular time to feed them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And God will continue to do that until God decides that they're going to be able to stand on their own feet and feed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm seeing is that you are just confirming. You remember, prayers are more or less confirmations of what God has already put in place. So you are more or less confirming to God, say that, please continue feeding them because I know you will continue to feed them. You know, whether that's through you or through other people, but these people have no means as of right now to feed themselves. You do what you can, and God will continue to, if they are traveling, God will continue to do what God is doing until he gets them to a place where he can give them their own provisions. So I wasn't disagreeing, but I was just adding that in that case, my prayer is, yes, about God to sort out the situation, but it's also for me directly about their food, because God doesn't need to give them a job for them to eat. God needs to provide for them to eat. You know? So what I'm saying is, God, please provide means for these people to eat. But definitely, yes, they will eat at my house, and they will keep coming at my house to eat or even stay with me for as long as God allows the provisions for me to feed them.
Some point difference.